It is the 24th of February, 2011. This is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness broadcast live. If you could, would you track the Antichrist? If you could, would you fight against him? And if you could, would you interview him? I mean, if you're a reporter, and this is the character that is, well, now leading, guiding the world, would you want to interview him? Could you imagine the reporters and news media outlets and television stations and radio stations in their interview of the Antichrist, of a Theoron? Especially when you and I now know, out of the book of Daniel, out of the book of Revelation, that one of the main characteristics God reveals is the power of his speech, the power of his voice. Oh, he has eyes that look like the eyes of a man. He has a face that's like a man. He's called a beast, a Theoron, an Antichrist. He is called the man of lawlessness and the little horn that rises to, well, dominant global power. On the website, shatterthedarkness.net, you know what we've done for Thursday night? Here's what it says. Why would you want to? Why, you know, God has given us such a massive heads up and preemptive intel. It's pretty important, pretty cutting edge to realize that in the prophetic revelation of God, there is massive, there is more information, detailed wise, concerning the Antichrist than there is the rapture, than there is the millennium, than there is the great white throne. Yet I believe that so many are lacking in this vast biblical revelation. Hundreds of millions, if not billions now, no conspiracy is in the air. Ominous catastrophe is there. Everybody's looking at the Middle East right now. Look at the riots going on. Ahmadinejad, well, he wants it to happen all over the world. Kind of like what the Red Horse, Revelation 6, in that prophetic drama that is announced. Well, that's what he is igniting in his speeches also. Now, I asked the other day, who would you want to rule the world? I went through a litany of world leaders right now that are on the scene. Who would you want to lead the world? Hillary Clinton. What about Condoleezza Rice? What about George Soros? And you can go over the lists of presidents and kings and leaders in the world right now, and I don't think anyone would think that any one of them could rule, lead, guide the most powerful political, economic, military system, because it's pretty obvious they're not really able to handle their own nations. Why the massive intelligence on Homo Satanus? Now, this is way beyond WikiLeaks. Let me tell you something. God has leaked the information about the sequential development of the dark side's agenda that will bring the world to its knees, that will instill the beast kingdom that is described in Daniel, described in Revelation. Massive content, because it is going to be a massive, unprecedented, unequaled event in all of human history. Now, there is great intel, and I'm going to ask you a question. Can we discern his voice? What about the voice of the Antichrist itself? Now, you've heard me all week already say that he's called Theron. And out of the 43 uses of that word in the New Testament, 25 in the book of Revelation, almost all of them in reference to him, to the false prophet, and to the beast kingdom. It is a description in the original use of the word of literally wild, ferocious beasts out in the wilderness. It is used in the Old Testament, including the word behemoth. the concept of something bestial and wild and dangerous. And now this term chosen by God to describe the Antichrist. This is how God sees him. This is how God defines him. Listen to these words. You may have heard them. I mean, the power of speech. There may be thousands listening right now. We want to welcome all of you, internet-wise and satellite-wise. And then thousands and thousands of you download from all over the world. Welcome to the Russians, to the Chinese, to the Czechs, to the Poles, all the way up to the Scandinavian countries and around the world. There in India, there in Greece, there at the Isle of Malta, and down in Johannesburg, South Africa, the islands, South America, Canada, Australia, Japan, literally all around the world, and many of you now are familiar with my voice. You know what? I've had a lot of individuals write to me to tell me and describe to me what they think about my voice. Believe it or not, I don't know any different. I really don't, other than to do what I do. I do know the presence of God is here. I do know that this hour is a supernatural hour in which God will be summoning some of you to turn to the living Christ, that God would be encountering, and some may get saved, some may get healed, some may get delivered. And so we would just announce now the name Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to be the target of the Antichrist. And listen, when we talk about the speech, we'll talk about the volume, but mainly the content. This is one of the ways in which, well, the world that God has given, that we can discern or decide whether a growing, powerful world leader is the Antichrist. Now, behind the scenes, when he's rising in the political levels, when he's operative behind the scenes, not a whole lot is said. It is not until the apocalypse, the unveiling, and his operative presence, and specifically from the mid part of the tribulation, the Hathalipsis, the Hamagali, the great, the tribulation, is when literally it seems he is showing what he really is, unleashing his wrath, bringing destruction until God has to destroy him. What will he sound like? What will be the power behind his voice? I've heard the demons many times in deliverance. I've heard the demons and the chosen ones speaking through program personality. Probably the most powerful that I've ever seen in a room where officers were there. The man leg chained that I've talked about, arm cuffed on the floor, switched to a German pro-Nazi personality, and in a German deep guttural accent with dark demonic power, he screamed at all of us, we are the legions that shall rule the earth. Let me ask you to remember this voice.
Meine deutsche Jugend, nach einem Jahr kann ich euch hier wieder begrüßen. Ihr seid heute hier in diesem Muschel nur ein Ausschnitt dessen, was außer ihr über ganz Deutschland steht. Und wir möchten nun, dass ihr deutsche Jungs und deutsche Mädchen in euch all das aufnehmt, was wir dereinst und...
Just a couple of more moments. This is simply a YouTube video. You can see many of them. Hitler's speech. It's amazing to me that 2,389,000 plus have listened and are listening to an old speech by Hitler, and to watch the crowds in the video and to see the throngs listening and observing. Now, I don't know about you, but in listening to that voice, in listening to the spirit behind that presence, it is amazing. And all of the undergrounders tell me that Hitler will look like a choir boy in comparison to their coming world leader. Remember in the book of Daniel? In the book of Daniel, when it describes the little beast or the little horn that has become the powerful, and God gives an explanation. In verse 23, Daniel 7, in reference to the whole kingdom, the whole beast system. Now we're talking the politics, the government, the economics, and the military backing. God describing the Antichrist beast kingdom. Here it goes, quote, "The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on the earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth." Now listen again distinctly. It is different than the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks and the Romans. We're talking about something that is off the charts in comparison to all of them put together. There is this fourth kingdom. It will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. From there, the description of the rise of that kingdom, its 10 horns, 10 kings, and then that particular king, political, military, Antichrist, he will be different from the earlier leaders. He will subdue three other kings. It's in verse 25 that God begins to define the speech. Once again, in Daniel and in Revelation 13, God gives this unveiling of the mouth of the Antichrist, the speech of the Antichrist, the intensity of what he says. And listen, I'm going to give you four revelations on the content of his speech. The content of his speech. Now, as I read verse 25, Daniel 7, "He will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints and try to change the set times and laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times, and a half a time." Well, that's about a half a tribulation. That's 3.5 years. Listen again just for a moment to this voice. We're not going to listen to the entire 5-minute speech, just a small portion of what led, millions to be mesmerized and to believe in an occult-oriented political ideology, a occult-oriented military machine, an occult-oriented psychology and science that led to world war and to the, slaughter of millions upon millions with the intent of slaughtering an entire race and setting up a Reich, a 1,000-year reign with a master race of supermen, godmen, ubermen, that could be the enforcers. That spirit-given ideology, military vision, future vision is what is, carried on by those that believed it for all these years and has gone worldwide. So when you and I talk about this, we are talking about the, evolutionary development, the development that leads eventually to the surfacing. The kingdom, as it says, will appear on the earth. It is a shadow kingdom right now. It is a shadow beast system right now. It is behind the scenes, laced under supernatural secrecy, held back by the restrainer that God has put in place. Now, in all of that, I've mentioned this week, and I keep using the word Theron, in the use of the Septuagint, in the use of the New Testament, ultimately a description of animals, wild, terrible, bestial, that would devour others. But it's used of an entire kingdom. It's used of the Antichrist who leads it, and it's used of the false prophet who unleashes signs, wonders, demonstrative miracles in the face of humanity with the goal of, and it seems in the prophetic revelation, the effect of seducing the world into worship of the dragon, of the beast, and commitment to that system. Now, I don't know about you, but when the days come and the great chaos occurs, please understand, all the world's going to know that we are about at the end. Now, the precursors to all of that, between Mayan prophecy, between New Age teaching, and the alienologists, you know, those who are saying that the entities out there, they're declaring the same thing. Got to be a cleansing on the earth. We got to get rid of a certain amount of humanity. There's going to be a great catastrophe because there are resistors in the way. And so whether you look into the skies and the delusion there, and you see the entities that are, masqueraded as alien intelligent races, I don't think it's that intelligent for any author, writer, filmmaker to in any way put a positive spin on that which has been elusive, abduction, the sexual rape, the kidnap. Well, look at all the harm. Look at all the harm. And yet there are those that want disclosure. They want disclosure. Eventually, they will get disclosure. That disclosure will come, though, primarily when the abyss is opened. And the entities there will break onto this side, come down upon the earth. And, that's another story. By the way, we have on the abyss, I believe, 7 hours, including the hours that Steve Quell and I have done together, listed on the website, shatterthedarkness.net. Now, we're going to look at 4 revelations concerning the content, whether you look in Daniel 7 or 8 or 9 or 11, whether you look in Revelation 13, here's what you're going to see. That he comes, that God describes what the world will see as kind of a Superman. I think by the descriptions that God gives, it's interesting because I just got a number of books in lately. It's on criminal profiling of facial movement. I mean, in other words, how to look at somebody's face, seeing the emotional expressions and determining what it is they are thinking, what it is they are conveying. Now, this is very interesting because some of the experts in this field believe they can look at someone and in a few seconds tell you whether they're lying or not lying, tell you what they're intending to say, and whether or what's behind it. So it's pretty amazing. I wanted to see some of the profiling information on that, taking a look at that because of this revelation that God gives of the stern-faced king, the face of the Antichrist, the eyes of the Antichrist, and then the content. More than the eyes, more than the face, God reveals this this powerful, blasphemous, pompous speech. Now, it has the idea with the stern-faced king that there's this incredible confidence, this incredible fixed determination and speech. As a matter of fact, in Revelation 13:5, it says the Theron was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies. Now, it's in verse 6 that we have the description and the breakdown. Once again, God gives this before we have heard. You and I have not heard the voice of the Antichrist yet. I don't know if he has been involved in any political scenes, but it seems to me that the little horn is behind the scenes until the beast kingdom and its arrival on the pages of human history, until the apocalypse of Anthropos Anamos. Now, when I'm looking at verse 6, here's what it says. Referring to the beast, the Theron opened his mouth. And here are the four levels of content. Number 1, to blaspheme God. Out of the Antichrist, expect that he's going to blaspheme God. That a lot of the content of what he has to say is in opposition to God. Now, this is how it started in Genesis 3. He started with maligning the character of God. That God was a liar, that God was stealing from us, that God didn't give us the secret knowledge, that God was holding back. And then he questioned and created doubt and lied about what God said. So he attacks the person and the content that comes from God. Out of the mouth of Homo Satanus. Now it goes to character. Here is now the fallen cherub. You wonder what it was like in heaven when he persuaded with massive violent force 1/3 of the angelic host and brought them down. You wonder what it sounded like. I call it the voice of an ancient hate. There in the garden with all of the seduction, and even in the New Testament we have in 2 Corinthians 11, a description that God gives in the New Testament about how Satan operated in conjunction with Eve in the garden. His cunning, the tempter, the slanderer. Now, isn't it something that he's titled what he is? He is the slanderer of God. I've watched over the years demon-possessed people. I watched one night sitting in a pastoral office talking to an inner-city pastor who did not believe that demonization occurs today. As we sat there talking, the third man all of a sudden out loud said, "I feel like something's overtaking me. I feel like I'm supposed to start mocking God and blaspheming God." I can see that he was actually disturbed. I could observe that he was physically engaged. And before he opened his mouth, I prayed out loud for the authority of the Lord to be exercised. I called on the name of the Lord Jesus. The man went rigid stiff and all of a sudden howled out of his mouth. As I commanded the demonic not to blaspheme, not to mock God, the inner city pastor was knelt down on the side. He saw and heard and looked. 3 feet away from his face was a man where a demonic presence manifested and wanted nothing else but to blaspheme God. Could you imagine a demon-possessed man in a room where the demon is listening to two pastors discuss whether demons are active today like they were in biblical times? And of course, I'm telling the inner city pastor, absolutely no different. They're no different than in the days that we read of in the Gospels of the book of Acts. And just by our discussion, there was a kind of a causing, a forcing of demonic manifestation. And that demon came to the surface, and that demon wanted to... I have heard it again and again and again. And when they usually come up at an individual and begin to blaspheme and curse God and mock and go after God in that sense, their speech is like their leader. That is one of the primary activities when there is manifestation and when there is interaction and a power encounter is engaged. I've seen it so many times, heard it so many times. The blasphemy. They go after the character of God, slandering God, blaspheming God. And we've got to understand something, because God is the direct enemy. God is the focus of the dark side's attention, agenda, and ultimate goal of Armageddon. In the heavenlies, the fallen cherub wanted to take the throne of God. I will. He willed five times the description in Isaiah to will God out of the way, annihilating God, and taking over the throne of God. The finite cherub wanting to take the chair of the infinite. Huh. Second revelation of the content of his speech in that verse. He goes after to blaspheme God and then specifically to slander his name. To slander his name. Now, whether or not he will go to the Hebrew, and I don't doubt, I've heard this all along for the last number of years, he may slander Yahweh, Yahweh Adonai. Satan understands Elohim, El Elyon, El Shaddai. He understands Yahweh. He understands Logos. He understands, clearly, Yesu Christu. Now, this is the name given under heaven among mankind by which we must be saved. This is the name that people get healed in, saved, and demons are called to attention and kicked out, the name and authority of Jesus. Now, when Jesus did it in Luke chapter 10 and taught us what to do, one of the great examples is watching Paul in Acts chapter 16. When a young girl has a powerful demon inside of her, individuals in the city that is overtaken by the demonic powers are using her and making money. Yet as Paul is agitated and eventually turns around and commands the spirit in the girl to come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ, instantly the demon leaves. And I can't tell you about the experience of demons leaving. When they leave individuals, there's sometimes a mighty screaming, a gasp, growling. Sometimes the person just literally kind of faints and they fall to the ground. That an extra-dimensional entity of the worst kind or nature has been in their body, manifesting, using their eyes to look at me, their ears to hear me, their mouth, so the demon can speak through it. I have not heard the voice of Satan. I have not heard the voice of the Antichrist. But I have heard the voice and the speech of a lot of demons in a lot of individuals. And they've demonstrated the same character, same intensity, same hatred, same blasphemy. They go after the person of God, and they go after the name of God. They don't even want the name to be spoken. We're told in the book of James that they shudder, tremble at the name Jesus Christ. That just by the mention of his name, I have watched demons hiding in possessed people, forced out into manifestation because of the power of the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Because Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ, and all of that he is, and listen, he is what he's done at the cross. He is what his blood is all about. He is what his death and his resurrection and his ascension is. He is the Logos, the Emmanuel. He is God. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, and all authority is his, and he has given the believer authority to trample on this dark side and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing would harm us. Now let me tell you something. In the context of spiritual war, the closer to the end we get, the more physical manifestations of counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, of thousands upon thousands, if not millions of individuals being possessed, and if encountered, and only when they are encountered, by the authority of the living Christ, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the believer who wields, because they have the right, the name Jesus. I don't doubt right now there are those that monitor the show that have their demons. You know what they do sometimes? Before they come to an encounter, when they know they're being brought in, they will dismiss their demons away from them. So as if it doesn't seem like there's anything demonic in them, in the meeting, in the encounter, in the room. We learned this years ago, and we learned to call whatever demons that they were in charge of, that were connected to them, to come right there and to be dealt with. Once again, the experience of seeing them manifest the demons, be thrown to the ground, rise up to want to attack people in the room, speak out that they wanted to kill. But it always begins with an assault on God and an assault on God's name. How do I identify the Antichrist, the beast, the little horn, the man of lawlessness? Well, in a loud and a very pompous and arrogant voice, coming out of that face of that countenance, that stern-faced countenance, number one, attacking God personally. Number two, attacking his name. And then there's number three. It's right there in verse 6, Revelation 13. He's going to attack the dwelling place. You know, the place that he was kicked out of. Now, you can go back if you want to Revelation 12 when Michael the archangel and his angels, they battle Satan and his angels. Satan wasn't strong enough and thrown out. Jesus talked about Satan. I saw Satan fall like lightning. And in the book of Job, we are seeing that Satan is called to give an account, but he doesn't have rights or access to what Paul describes as the third heaven. Listen, he assaults what he cannot destroy, God. He assaults the name of God that reveals who God is because he cannot destroy it. He assaults heaven because he cannot destroy it. While he was in the heavenlies, unleashing a willed and violent insurrection, he could not take the throne of God. He cannot destroy the person of God, rid the world of the name of God, or threaten heaven itself in any way. His attention, my friends, will be completely earthbound. In that same verse, the fourth part of his speech deals with attacking those who are dwelling in the heavenlies. Did you read this? This is Revelation 13, 6. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God, number one, to slander his name, number two, and, which includes slandering, the dwelling place, heaven, huronos, and then slandering those who live in heaven. Now, that would include all the angels of God. I mean, you're talking now Moses and Elijah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and on and on and on and on. You're talking about the vast host of heaven. Now, I don't know if you've ever read lately in Hebrew or in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. When Paul prays for the Ephesians, he prays that God, out of his glorious riches, would strengthen them in the inner man by the power of the Spirit of God. He begins all of this by saying that he kneels before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derive its name. Our brothers and sisters by the hundreds of thousands are in heaven. They're untouchable. No one can wage war. No one can get to them. No one can harm them. Sovereign protection. There is no threat in heaven. But let me tell you this. The threat is here. The threat is where the doorway has been opened for this manifestation. The threat is for where humanity in its rejection of God, thus doorway, its embrace of all the precursors of counterfeit spirituality. New Agers under the precursors. 2012ers under the precursors. Alienologists, ufologists under the precursors. Old occultists, secret societies, Masonic under the precursors. Those who have embraced the finite spirits, whether masqueraded as angels of light or direct demons in voodoo, it doesn't make any difference. Those are the precursors that layer an individual for larger and broader deception, larger and broader possession, and ultimately the embrace of the presence of the dragon, the appearance of the Antichrist, and the signs, wonders, and supernatural actions of the false prophet. Let me say that even right now as you listen, maybe you're a seeker, maybe you're someone in those categories, maybe you are a military remote viewer, a psychic, a seer, maybe you claim a certain level of spirituality in some measure, but the question is, what is the source of that presence? What dwells on you? What dwells in you? What non-human enhancement do you operate with? Because the dark side has been said and has done the giving of supernatural counterfeit giftings and workings, counterfeit to all that God gives. Christians should understand that every charismatic gifting, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, the ability to spiritually see and distinguish spirits, supernatural languages, and on and on and all have been counterfeited and have been lodged in those who've embraced finite, fallen, dark spirits in whatever way they masquerade, in whatever way they present themselves. It makes no difference in how they masquerade. They can say they're a alien entity from the Pleiades. They can say that they are Uncle Joe or your grandmother from four generations back. They can claim to be a spirit guide, an animal guide. They can claim a lot of things, but they can be outed and exposed by one primary source. They all know, every one of these individuals that we're talking about, I've engaged those with spirit guides, those with animal spirits, those with enhancements, those remote viewers, and those astral project, those occultists and Satanists, those who have power demons and know how to use them in ritual warfare. The same thing is true of all of them. Whatever the mask that they present, what they are is the same. Same in nature, same in their finite nature, same in their absolute violent, vehement rage, hate of God, his name, of heaven, and those who dwell in the heavens. It might have something to do with Revelation 19:14. It may have everything to do with Revelation 19:14. Have you read that lately? If you're a believer in Christ, you are in biblical revelation. I mean, you really are. You are in the prophetic already. You can see yourself there in the future and where you're going to be. Well, in the great glorification, the mortal will put on immortality, indestructible immortality. That's for sure. But in Revelation chapter 19, just drop on down to verse 14, take a read. The armies of heaven were with him, riding on white horses, that is, victorious, triumphant position, and dressed in fine linen, white and clean, redemptive clothing that comes from Christ. If you're a believer in Christ right now, please understand that in the parousia, the epiphany, the apocalypse, the coming of Christ, there is those dead in Christ that will rise first. We who are alive, harpezo, caught up, there is an instant glorification. I can't give you the timeline. People argue whether it's a 7-year thing, a 3.5-year thing, or a 3-week type thing. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. The fact is very clear, though. The catching up and the glorification definitely occurs before the visible return of Christ. Because we're going to be there. We are going to be there in that return. That's what we've got to see more than anything else. That's what we got to see as we're involved, well, in this coming. Now, I'm taking a look right now at some notes, and I'm just going to tell you that in Revelation 19:14, you can go into Revelation 20:21. You can see in the future, actual future, where the redeemed that have been born of the Spirit of God, that have loved God, in whom Christ dwelt, that once glorified, and in the ultimate future, there we are, face to face with God. There in the end of all of history and the launching into the eternal kingdom, God wipes away. There is now a conclusion to any of the pain, any of the tears. Do you understand the relational nature of God? Not just spiritual presence, spirituality, energies, enhancements, but a relationship. There's no question that when we are born again, we are enhanced by God, indwelt by the Spirit of God, totally forgiven, given the gift of eternal life. The very presence of the Spirit of God dwelling in you right now is the guarantee of what is to come. Did you know about that? The book of Ephesians chapter 1. Every single believer has within them absolute glory, and what is to come is glorious. What you have right now is but a taste of what is to come. Now, we talk about this week, about the most horrific unleashing of the dark side, the catastrophe, the chaos, the anarchy, the slaughtering of humankind, the devastation to the environment, the almost attempt at the annihilation of the human race at the hands of darkness. But it is cut short. God doesn't permit it. God who protects his own, God who puts the restrainer in place to hold back the bursting out. No, there's a sequence of events. The bursting out chaos, apocalypse of the Antichrist, ascendancy of the false prophet, the Luciferic consuming, authoritative, and complete crushing rule of a new world order. As God shows what will occur, he is describing what will happen, what Satan will bring into the world, what God himself will bring into this mix, and what humankind will be doing. It shows us in the future that once the chaos has come and Antichrist has come and the system is in place and the false prophet has been operative and the abyss has been opened and all of this has been done, when billions are dead and the earth is devastated, wormwood, even in the context there, God stops and calls for repentance. Way out there in the future. And especially when the mark of the beast and the worship of the image is done, taken and done, there is no turning back. There is no future description way out there in the Hey Thalipsis, Hey Megali, the great part of the tribulation. During the unleashing of the wrath of Antichrist and the abyss that occurs and the entities that come and the seals all opened and all that occurs, the further in and the closer to Armageddon biblical prophetic revelation demonstrates that no one then repents. Here's how I stand right now in praying by the Spirit of God. Since God is not willing that any should perish, maybe there's a New Ager, maybe there's a 2012er, maybe there's an ayahuasca-taking individual that believes in the Spirit-given promise of an evolution to deity, of a Luciferic New Age coming, and human enhancement, though it has never occurred in the past and will not occur in the future. It is what you embrace, and what you embrace is the pinnacle of satanic deception. What you embrace and the spirit behind it and the doctrine behind it has come from the one that led the human race into this trail of tears. You're listening now. You're listening at a divine providential moment, and God, by the Spirit of God, summons you. I pray that the Lord Jesus will destroy and to break down all demonic masquerade, deception, spirits, even the enhancements you've been given. You know, I've met many that have had demonically given abilities, supernatural abilities. You know, I've met some. They wouldn't turn to Christ because they didn't want to give up the supernatural abilities that have been given to them. And so they will perish. Do you think you will get into heaven, experience indestructible, irreversible immortality while hanging on to demons that have given you finite, temporal, partial, flawed, corrupted, supernatural enhancement? To the super soldiers that are listening, to the sleepers that dwell within, there is a verse in the book of Ephesians that says, "O sleeper, wake up," in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we'd say it, "that you might look to the face of God in Christ on a cross, but you would look at the power and the power of that pure blood of Jesus, that you would come to Christ." That if you're looking for spiritual experience, and you've been through 40, 50 years of the New Age movement, eclectic one after another experiences, but never found what you're looking for, there's a reason. It's coming off a plate served from Hell's Kitchen. It cannot satisfy what God has originally created within. That capacity to know God, to walk in majesty with God, and to be eternal, God-given. It's the place that God created. And no demon can take God's place. Not a legion of them can take God's place. Not even the fallen cherub, if you are the highest of high priests in the Luciferic system. To those deep within the Vatican, smoke of Satan's superforce, you need to get out while you can. The atrocities that have been already committed, the bloodshed, the children, the rituals, in and under the cloak of darkness, in and under the cloak of darkness, supernaturally hidden, you're able to operate for a time. As it was in the past, so it will be in the future. You've got to know the verse I've quoted again and again out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. To the addicted, to the sinner, to the one groveling and crying, to the one that wishes they could know God. Your liberation is just a few moments away. Call on the name of the living Christ, the Lord Jesus. Call on the name now given among mankind, humankind, whereby we must be saved. No one loves you more. No one wants you more. May God stretch out His hand, the power of the Spirit of God to draw you, to lead you, but you must repent and believe. You must take the time, call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to come in. Ask him and receive the gift of salvation that God wills for you to have. What about where the Antichrist is going to be? I mean, as I've said Tuesday night, it is my personal opinion, not authoritative, infallible, biblical revelation, and definitely not a spirit-given prophecy, but my opinion based on, and I share that Tuesday, based on what I know on biblical prophecy and what I know about a number of things, I'm not the only one. I would say that 99% of the people that I have been to conferences in and asked many of you, do you believe that he's already been born? Do you believe that there's 5 years left, 10 years left? Now, I start usually with 20 years, and I see a lot of hands go up in a crowd. We only got 20 years left. How about 15? A lot of hands. How about 10? More hands. How about 5 years? The majority. But again, like Acts chapter 1, it is very clear that we don't know the chronos, the times of the date. That is in the sovereign authority of God. When it all that has to take place at this moment in history, in my opinion, is the restrainer, 2 Thessalonians 2, to be removed. The underworld, the undergrounders, the brotherhooders, if you want to use the word Illuminati, that's fine. Illumined to the darkest of the black flame. X's in their eyes, darkness in their heart, sons and daughters of destruction. Long before the Antichrist apocalypse is visibly, physically unveiled to the world, he will be operative. As I said Wednesday night, he will have to have been born. Raised by whom? There's not one iota of scripture that tells us that he's simply a man that one day will be possessed. That he's some unwitting man going along that gets possessed like the Judas experience. Judas wasn't the Antichrist. He was never called Beast, Antichristu, Little Horn, Man of Lawlessness. God gives massive intel, massive prophetic revelation concerning the one that will lead the world into the most destruction it has ever experienced. Two things are at the top of this. The pinnacle of deception, the pinnacle of destruction. You embrace the deception, you will embrace. And you may be part of, aid and abed, the destruction. Blood, yours, if you don't know Christ, is on your head. For those that have served this Luciferic dark flame, well, you have aided and abed blood of many would be on your head. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. That's the word of God, Romans 6. Right now, at this listening, even if it's 6 months after I have done this, even if you've gotten it in some supernatural way, providential way, handed to you, isn't it strange how some of you have gotten it? It is strange when I get emails telling me, I have accidentally listened to you. I have accidentally come to your site. Somehow, someway, somebody sent me your link. Somebody made a CD and mailed it to me, and I listened to what you had to say. To the believers out there, if you feel it's beneficial, if you feel that there is God's grace and the proclamation of the gospel and can be used evangelistically, make CDs. Go ahead and give them out to the occultists and the New Agers and many others. Where is he right now? Well, I think that my look at biblical prophecy would be Europe. ultimately the Middle East, ultimately the temple, there we have in 2 Thessalonians 2, that he will stand up in that temple declaring himself, exalting himself, nobody else does it, to be God, but he's not. Two vital considerations here at the end of the hour. In what ways can you track the Antichrist? Well, number one, biblical revelation. When you have that down clearly, then you can look for the one that has the speech to come and those eyes and that face and that content and that stuff. It will come. He will have his apocalypse. Clearly, not until the restrainer is removed, the chaos breaks out, and he rises to be the false savior and fix that the world will embrace. So I'm going to tell you biblical prophetic revelation. Number two, in what ways can you fight the Antichrist? Well, let me tell you this. I'm going to give five things real quick. Five things real quick. Number one, you need to be saved and know Christ. By that alone, you have won in Christ. Whatever happens, absent from the body, present with the Lord, you are in Revelation 19:14. Memorize that. Mark it down. Let that be the word of hope today. In the future, there you are, glorified, coming down, following Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, in the descent, the visible return on the day of Armageddon. Number two, spiritually, no holes, no sins, no things in your life that gives room to the devil. Make sure you have repented of all, gotten rid of everything, and surrendered your life to full service to Christ, being fully filled with the Spirit of God. Number three, don't live in ignorance. You want to fight the Antichrist and the beast system? You want to fight in spiritual warfare right now? Listen, if you're losing in spiritual warfare right now because you don't know anything and you're not putting anything into practice, just think about when the full dump of hell's presence is here in society. Be strong now. Greater is the one that dwells in you than the one that dwells in the world. Know the authority of Christ, the Word of God. Don't live in ignorance. Number four, become as powerful in prayer as possible. Powerful in witness as possible. Take the course we're offering, the Book of Acts. And number five, heaven's mission. Win as many people as possible to Christ. In the context of biblical, God-given, Holy Spirit-inspired evangelism, it's where God demonstrates his greatest sense of presence. Jesus said in the context of the Great Commission, I will be with you to the end of the age. This is Russ Dizdo. The music's here. ShadowTheDarkness.net on the website. Email us if you need to. Keep us in your prayers. Thank you for your support. We need it. God bless you. Good night.